from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, man, happy Tuesday. I'm mad. I'm not that mad. I'm annoyed. Frustrated? We'll talk about the NBA Finals. The Boston Celtics are the NBA champions. Jaylen Brown is the NBA Finals MVP. The amount of storylines spilling out of last night were too many for me to just write down in the rundown. James, I had to text you, and I'm like, hey, here's what's banging around in my head right now. I've got seven things, and then you tacked on one very obvious one that I missed, and you're like, well, and also this thing. I was like, yes, you're right, 100%. We will talk about that, and we will talk about the NBA offseason officially beginning, particularly for the Sacramento Kings and Malik Monk, because now that the NBA Finals are over, the Kings can begin their negotiations with Malik Monk, but we're already seeing some other NBA news come out. We will have all of that for you. But I have to start here, because I'm the one talking, so that's what I'm going to do. I was listening to Carlin versus Joe, which is the show that leads into ours. And I love Joe Fortenbaugh. I am a big Joe Fortenbaugh fan.
Okay.
Worked with him at 95.7. Appreciate the heck out of his knowledge and his work ethic. He does a phenomenal job. He has earned every single thing that he has gotten in this career, and I think he will continue ascending as a media personality. Carlin, not as familiar with him, but very much enjoy their show. So, they were talking about the Brandon Ayuk situation, because Brandon Ayuk, if you missed it yesterday, posted a video on TikTok. Vaguely saying they said they don't want me. The assumption is he's talking about the 49ers, and that led Carlin and Joe to talk about the 49ers now need to trade him if they're not going to come in on a deal, blah, 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 blah. A couple things on this. One, it's June 18th.
Too late.
It's June 18th.
Yeah.
The 49ers got Deebo Samuel's deal done in late July. Fred Warner's deal got done in late July. George Kittle's deal got done in August. Nick Bosa's deal got done in September. This is just how they do things, man. Mm-hmm. This is not, the delay is not a Brandon Ayuk thing. This is just how it's gone. There's just been a bunch of other wide receivers getting paid, and so it looks like the 49ers don't want to pay their dude, but they're just waiting for the market to be set. They're at a number. Brandon Ayuk's at a number. The Niners aren't willing to come up. Brandon Ayuk's not willing to come down, but hey, let's get to training camp when Brandon Ayuk starts to stand to lose some money. That's what the 49ers are banking on.
That's how this works. And look, when I say, like, it's too late, really, to trade him. Like,
yes.
It's there's so many teams are, they don't have any cap space. I mean, there's ways to create cap space and all that stuff, but it's just too late. And they're not going to switch paths at this, especially he's under contract this year.
That's it. That's the nail on the head, dude. He is under contract this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Carlin and Joe, again, love him. Great show. Tap in, 9 o'clock, right here on ESPN 1320. They were talking as though if the 49ers don't sign him to an extension, that they need to get out from under that contract immediately. And no, they don't. They could. There are, if the 49ers came out tomorrow and said, hey, we're going to trade Brandon Ayuk, there'd be 31 teams on the horn. It's going, hey, what do you want for him?
Yep.
That's how that would go. And the 49ers would get some kind of compensation back in next year's draft, because a player-for-player swap, particularly one where they're going to get a player who's going to help them try and win a Super Bowl this year, is very, very unlikely.
Yep.
They didn't trade Brandon Ayuk during this year's draft because they thought they could get an extension done. And they had to have known. I refused to, because have the 49ers been great at winning Super Bowls? No, but they're not stupid. They're not a dumb organization. So I don't think they were under any illusion that, yeah, hey, we're going to wait till July 29th and we're going to be able to sign Brandon Ayuk for $20 million a year. Like, no, they knew it would get up near 30.
Mm-hmm.
With all the wide receivers who were due contracts, from Justin Jefferson to Devontae Smith to A.J. Brown to Amon-Ra St. Brown, like all of these contracts, they knew that they were coming. They knew that $30 million was very likely going to be the range. I don't think any of this is news. This is all par for the course. Brandon Ayuk purposely filming himself, or having somebody film him on TikTok with Jaden Daniels so he could post it on TikTok is insane. Or FaceTime, not on TikTok. He posted it on TikTok, but he was on FaceTime with Jaden Daniels, vaguely saying, they don't want me. They said they don't want me.
Yeah, they don't want me.
No, he probably said, I want 31 a year, and the Niners went, nah, we don't want you at that price. And fine, that's how negotiations go, man. This is just all, to me, for now, this is all much ado about nothing, because it is June 18th. If it was August 18th, let's talk. But the 49ers have never done a deal at this time. They've never done a deal at this point. We had Deebo Samuel out here requesting trades and deleting stuff off social media and telling people that he doesn't want to play for the 49ers anymore and that he wants to play in Dallas and this and that. Like, he was, that all happened. And then, oh, look at that. Training camp comes around and, oh, there's a deal in hand. Shocking. It just, dude, the national discussion on this, like, oh man, well, they got to trade him now. No, they don't. He's under contract. They could tell him, there's no rule that says a player can't play on his fifth year option.
Yep.
They can go, yeah, dude, go play. And if you want Justin Jefferson money, cool, prove it. Be Justin Jefferson then. If he sits out a year, then great. Then he doesn't accrue a season. And then next offseason, while he has not made any money, he comes back in the exact same spot. And then if he wants to play out that fifth-year option, here we go. And I'm talking about why Brandon Ayuk would be willing to come down from whatever number he's at. And the 49ers will have to come up from whatever number they're at because, again, negotiations. If he plays out his fifth-year option, they now have a franchise tag in 2025.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the 49ers have most of, if not all of, the leverage here. This is not panic time. And the over-dramatization of whatever's going on here has just been insane.
Yeah. It's standard. I mean, we are, like, at the end of the NBA season. The NBA yes. season officially ended last night.
That's what we're going to talk about on today's show. I just wanted to open up with this Ayuk thing.
Yeah. No, I totally get it.
Annoyed by the previous show.
I totally get it. But this is that time where I guess some folks are like, searching for content.
Believe me.
I guess.
We are. as a 49ers blogger and podcaster, I can tell you, we'll take any content we can get.
No, I totally get you. And it just feels like that's what's happening here. And look, I think it'll all get worked out in the end. It's not going to feel comfortable, but that's what this is about. I mean, Major League Baseball, they go into arbitration meetings and they're literally fighting over a couple of $100,000 and just throwing each other under the bus.
It's insane.
It's absolutely wild. It's like, well, let me show you your advanced fielding stats and how bad you are.
Yeah.
You are a bad fielder. It's
you
like,
stink.
It's like, wait, I'm not a bad fielder. It's like, you are a horrible fielder. Are you seeing these stats?
Yeah.
And so, like, all of this is kind of the way it goes, as opposed to what we'll deal with later in the show, the Malik Monk situation, where it's like, hey, this is the most we can give you. We want to give you more.
Mm-hmm.
We would give you more. We can't give you more. Please come back. That's it. Like, there are so many, like, strict rules in the NBA.
Yeah.
And this is just one of them. So we'll dive deep into that. But
yeah,
how about that finals?
Yeah, boy. we were right. Shout out to us.
Yes.
Kyle Madsen and James Hamm. We were correct. Air horns for us. A reading rainbow for us. A ding for us. Celtics in five. Never a doubt. Even last night, I said, before the game, I said, Celtics by 17, Jaylen Brown MVP. Well, I'm a dunce. They won by 18.
Oh.
Stupid. God. Yeah, man. No, the Celtics are the best team all year. This is the right champion. The right team won.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah.
When we got down to it, like, I think that there could have been some team that showed up from the Western Conference that was just really battle-tested and really, really good and built to take on the Celtics. That is not the Dallas Mavericks. They were not built to take on the Celtics, and they were, like, shell-shocked from the opening game. Like, whoa, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just never, they never quite found their footing, and I think inexperience in the finals played a part, for sure. But the Celtics were just better, man. Like, that's what played out last night. The Mavs had their backs against the wall. The Celtics still had three games to play with, and the Celtics came out and went, nah. Hey, we're going to put this series in a chokehold early and never let them all the way back into the game.
Yeah.
It was a thoroughly dominant game five and a thoroughly dominant series from a thoroughly dominant season. Just the right team won the title.
No, they're excellent, and not only that, but I think, you know, that we can debate the MVP thing all we want, but, you know, Jaylen Brown had kind of set the standard for the first three games, and I know Tatum had some nice games as well, but, like, I don't think it was enough to sway the media members, and, like, overall, I just think not only was it the way that they just, like, right off the bat, it was like, oh, man. This isn't going to be a game. I like very quickly, I kind of had the feeling it was either going to be a random blowout again by Dallas or a blowout by Boston. I did not think that Dallas could win a close game in that series, in that situation. And sure enough, they were able to do it on their home court. I thought it was a really, really cool scene. Some of the pictures coming out of that
was incredible. That was so much confetti.
It was.
I have never seen more confetti.
Have you been at the end of an NBA Finals when they? Oh, well, okay. So let's be honest. The Warriors decide to shoot confetti all the time.
It's like, after every game.
Every win.
Yeah.
Yeah, but championship confetti is a little more. But that was a lot of confetti. The picture of Jason Tatum with his son is one of the most stunning pictures.
Incredible.
What a great shot.
So sick.
Yeah.
So cool. Yeah, man. I thought Tatum was going to win MVP with the way he played last night, because I thought it was close enough through four games between him and Jaylen Brown. Like, they played a little bit different role, but it was really close which of those two players had been the best. And with the way Tatum played last night, down the stretch of the fourth quarter, he was the one hammering nails into the coffin, making tough layups, finishing through contact, playing good defense, pulling down rebounds. He was just making every right pass. He was just awesome last night. And he was playing that game with a level of force that, to me, said, man, that guy wants finals MVP. And I think he got it tonight. And then he didn't.
I'm okay.
Jaylen Brown won it.
Yeah, I'm okay. I just hope that doesn't become, like, the issue and how this whole series is framed and all that. Like, look, they're both great players. They're both, like, figuring it out at the right time. And they should figure it out as a duo and win as many championships as possible together and not have sort of that little bug in the back of your head. Like, don't let it fester. Don't let it be something bigger than it is. Just enjoy the fact that you're an NBA champion. And, like, let's be honest, those two just pretty much stamped their way into the Hall of Fame. Like, it's early for both of them. They've got a lot more time here to build their resume. But that championship pretty much stamped who they are and what they look like once they retire. And that means that they're going to the Hall. And I think that's pretty apparent. And you hope that they embrace that like everything that comes with it. You just took the lead, the most NBA Finals championships in NBA history. You're playing for a storied franchise. You finally got the storied franchise back on the right path. This is a moment where you should be basking in all of it, not worried about who won an extra little tiny trophy.
Yeah, that's what, so since it's kind of funny how this all works, right? once you win a title, all of a sudden your resume becomes valid. And all of a sudden, hey, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown fell short a bunch of times, turns into, wow, look at all these guys have accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is to me, because if you go back to Jason Tatum's first year, 2017-18, they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. Then they lost in the Eastern Conference Semis, then Eastern Conference Finals. Then they were first-round exit in the 2021 season. But then they lost in the Finals, they lost in the Conference Finals, and then they won the Finals. That is an unbelievable resume. Mm-hmm. Every year that Jason Tatum has been on the Celtics, they've made the playoffs. In every year but one, they've won at least one series. And in every year but two, they've gone to the Conference Finals at least.
Mm.
And that's in 2, 4, 6, 7 seasons. That's insane.
Yeah.
An incredible resume. So I'm with you, man. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, if they retired tomorrow.
Yep.
Are probably both going to the Hall of Fame, but they have a lot more to accomplish in their careers, even if they don't win another title. Once that title's under your belt, doesn't matter.
Yeah, you always worry about being a great player, but not quite getting the full recognition.
Yeah.
They'll get the full recognition now. I mean, this is just, and I think it means a lot for others as well. I think we have to go to break.
Oh, yeah, we sure do. We're going to go right now. We'll be back in a second talking finals on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Arden.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Talking NBA Finals, talking Sacramento Kings. That's James. I'm Kyle. Hanging out with you until noon. A couple of non-finals related things. We'll also talk about Malik Monk because the offseason has officially begun. For the Sacramento Kings, we'll talk about their options there. They can begin negotiating with their free agent to be now. They can start it right now. Get him on the horn, get his agent on the horn, and start those discussions. Anthony Irwin of Odyssey Sports reported today that the J.J. Redick deal is done, and he will be the Lakers' next head coach. No reporting on that I've seen from Shams or Woj just yet, but Odyssey Sports' Anthony Irwin is reporting that. He's a Lakers, longtime Lakers blogger, podcaster, very plugged in with L.A., so that's worth keeping an eye on. That's what's going on. And then OG Anunoby is apparently unhappy with the Knicks' offer to him, their early offer.
Yeah.
And he's going to test free agency. We'll talk about what that means for the Kings as well, because that's fascinating. I find that very interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's where the Philadelphia 76ers, like, hey.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on over there?
Yeah, no more finals games for Joel Embiid to pull up and sit next to him, though, so.
You just say, hey, like, we like injury-prone players. Come on aboard.
Yeah, you're over here. Get in here, OG.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll discuss all of that. I want to stick with the finals real quick, though.
Yeah.
This call from Mike Breen last night. Like, Mike Breen is everybody knows Mike Breen is really good. I have some gripes with the broadcast crew as a whole from the finals. But this call, if you missed it, from Peyton Pritchard's half-court buzzer beater to end the first half is incredible. Here it is.
4 seconds to go. Missed free throw. Four for the rebound. Here's Pritchard. He loves these. Puts it up half court of the buzzer. Bang! Pritchard at the buzzer with a three-pointer. He's done it again.
God, he's so good. Mike Breen, not Peyton Pritchard. Like, Peyton Pritchard's good too, but Mike Breen's incredible.
Yeah, Mike Breen is the best. He is so smooth and like the bang call. Like, that's
he
Mike
loves
Breen.
These. As he's pulling up, he goes, "Oh, he loves these."
Oh yeah,
and then just cash. And I don't think I've ever seen a half court buzzer beater. Right? Like, I've watched a lot of Steph Curry half court heaves.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been more certain that a half court heave was going in than I was at Pritchard's last night. Like, that just looked cash out of his hand.
He does it all the time, though.
It's insane.
Yeah, he's finished so many quarters during the playoffs. It's his second time in the finals that he finished a half with a 30-foot with a half-court heave.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like, ridiculous. And everybody in the arena knew it was going in. The benches celebrating as the shots in the air.
Yeah.
That was the point that I knew last night's game was over. That felt like a dagger to end the first half.
Yes.
Because that is, hey, the arena's into it again. There was no like, yeah, hey, they got this Luka and one to close the half. And okay, that's got some momentum. Like, no, that was it. That was the point watching the game last night that I went, oh, Dallas just isn't coming back. This one's done.
I kind of felt it early when Dallas had a little bit of a lead and then boom, they were down. They're down 10. You're like, oh, it was that the transition bucket after transition bucket after transition.
Oh, yeah, and Tatum got the steal.
When
and
they
the
just
dunk.
Like, oh, like we're just doing layup lines against you. That's when I was like, ah, this one's over.
Yeah, I thought, but even at that point, because you're right, the crowd's rocking at that point. The Mavs had just been up, and now all of a sudden they're down 10 or whatever it was. They're hitting threes. They got a steal where Tatum just went cookies on, I think it was PJ Washington. Or was it Luka?
I can't remember.
Whoever it was, just goes steal, goes down two-handed dunk, and he's fired up, and he's yelling at the crowd. That stretch was a ton of fun. But still, is 10, 12 points... It's like, all right, Dallas can get back in this. The Celtics are really capable of going ice cold from three,
mm-hmm.
and Dallas just kind of chips away. The Pritchard three, though, the half-court buzzer beater,
yeah,
was just, to me, the ultimate, like, yep, it's their night. This one's over. There's nothing that... Because that play started because Luka missed a free throw. And so instead of cutting the lead by three going into the half, they lose a point.
Mm.
In the process, I mean, there's probably six other plays that happened last night where I was like, okay, now it's, but
now
that was the first time I really felt like, oh, I can probably turn this off. I didn't, but.
Yeah, I may have started watching a little bit of Celebrity Jeopardy with the wife. I don't know. Macaulay Culkin was on.
Sure.
Which is weird because Macaulay Culkin, I don't think I'd ever heard his adult voice.
Oh, really?
Because he's kind of been out of the mainstream. I was like, yeah. Oh, well, that's jarring.
Yeah.
So he did all right.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the finals balloting from the media.
For Tatum, MVP.
Yeah, for MVP, the finals MVP. Jaylen Brown had 7 of the 11. Did that catch you off guard that it was that many?
No. No.
Okay.
I was caught off guard that he won it all.
Yeah.
But I figured that if he was winning it, it was probably something like that. I didn't.
Yeah. I still felt like it really could have been a co-MVP. I do.
No,
you
can't do that. You can't do that.
I don't know.
You cannot do that.
You could have had two little
trophies. That's so lame. That's so lame.
Just split the trophy, the small trophy in half.
No. That's so lame. I was trying to, I had the, this sucks. I had the series stats up. Here we go. Series summary. Jason Tatum averaged 40 minutes a game, shot 38.8% from the field, 26.3% from three, 92.6% from the line. He averaged 22, I'm going to round just to make this easier, 22 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, and about half a block. Jaylen Brown, 44% from the field, 23.5% from three, 73% from the line, averaged 21 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal and a half and a block. Like, numbers-wise, they're pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
Brown was more efficient, but Tatum averaged more minutes, more points, more rebounds, more assists. And it just, watching Game 5 last night, it was like, oh, this is, Tatum's the option one here. Tatum is the dude. The ball is in his hands. He is the playmaker down the stretch. Like I said earlier, he was the one doing all the scoring to really put the game away and just, hey, no chance for the Mavs. We're not going to go on a 6-minute run with no points here where they can drain a bunch of threes and all of a sudden it's a game again. Like, no. I'm going to get to the rack. I'm going to fight through contact. I'm going to make these shots and I'm going to get us a championship. Just the way he played last night felt like a finals MVP to me. And so that's why I thought going into the game that it was Brown.
Uh-huh.
And then the way Tatum played last night, I was going, oh, everybody in the building is going to say, hey, it was dead even, and Tatum was the guy in the closeout game. And then That wasn't the case. So Brown got credit for the better overall series.
Sure.
I guess.
That's fine. Yeah. I don't know. I was okay with it. Like, I also, I like the way that, like, this kind of, it means a lot. It means a lot to, like, to Tatum and Brown, that's one thing. But some of the other guys, like, I mean, someone brought up in the chat earlier, like, Porzingis played for the Wizards and, like did not have a good time. And,
yeah.
And Al Horford,
didn't work
you know,
out.
38-year-old Al Horford out there, you know, taking it all in, winning a championship that late in his career. Drew Holiday, not only like winning his second chip, but also being such a huge, huge part of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that that was tremendous. It's just it's drama. It's like high drama, all of it. You're sort of, even if you're not a Celtics fan, you got to pull for Al Horford, you know, and Drew Holiday's just always been such a class act around the league.
You got four Hall of Famers on this team?
Yeah.
Horford and Holiday both in?
I think they are now.
Yeah. I think so too. And then Brown and Tatum we talked about earlier, You're going to get four Hall of Famers from this team.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Man.
That's pretty impressive, right?
Because
I think Horford is...
pretty impressive because they all cemented their resumes for me in this title.
Yeah, I honestly, like the two young guys probably were going to get there either way, but Horford sort of needed that one more thing to give it.
I think so,
give
too.
Him. And then Drew Holiday has, I think, one All-Star appearance. And so for him to be part of two different championship teams and be...
And he might like get a gold medal this summer.
Yeah, a major cog for two of those. Yeah.
So, Drew Holiday's awesome.
And a good, the Holiday brothers, like some of the best people. Like,
yeah.
I even said that to their dad one time.
Yeah.
Because like, I've met like all of them at different stages. Just like, you know, hey, man, I just want to tell you that not only did you have, are your boys good at basketball, but my goodness, dude, they're such good human beings.
Yeah.
Like, just being around any of them, he's like, thank you. That means more than the basketball.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Justin, Aaron, and Drew, right?
Yeah.
Justin, Aaron, and Drew? Yeah. Shout out to the Holidays. And shout out to Drew Holiday, who's now going to be a Basketball Hall of Famer. All right, let's talk about the Kings. Malik Monk is now officially on the clock. What are the Kings' options? And what else is going on around the league that might be of interest to Sacramento? We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Opt out.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That guy over there is James Hamm. This guy right here is Kyle Madsen. The NBA Finals are over. That means a couple of things. Well, one thing for the Kings. They can start negotiating with Malik Monk. But you can also negotiate with extension-eligible rookies.
And vets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
but for the Kings, what matters is they can start negotiating with Malik Monk.
Yeah. I don't think they can negotiate with Keegan Murray yet. I think that window opens up later. I might be wrong. Like rookie extensions. And either way, what is he? He's after his second year. No. He's got one more year.
Right.
But with De'Aaron Fox, they can offer De'Aaron Fox up to a, I think it's a 3 years, 165 extension. And if he would have made All-NBA, he would have been eligible for like a 4 year, 235.
Right.
So a lot more. And if he makes All-NBA next year, then he would be eligible for like a gigantic extension, which he will likely wait and see how that goes.
Do you see Jason Tatum's going to get like 5 and 315?
Oh, that's crazy.
It's going to be so much money.
Yeah, and it's just going to keep going up and going up and going up. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but this is the first day that you can start negotiating with your own free agents. So, clearly the Kings were waiting at Alex Len, and they divided and conquered. Kessler Edwards' house, Alex Len's house.
Yeah. They just kicked doors down on those guys.
Yeah. So, yeah, everything I've heard, we've talked about this week, but everything I've heard is that, yeah, the Kings are all in. Like, whatever they can give Malik Monk, they would give Malik Monk. And I sort of did all my last minute research on Monk last night. So they have a couple of options that they can offer him. They can offer him a 2 year, $36.2 million deal with no options. But he would have his bird rights afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
They could give him an offer 3 years at 56.5 with an option after year two. So it would basically be a 2 year plus one more. And so if things went wrong with Malik, he could say, hang on. And then they can also offer him a 4 year, $78.4 million with a player option after 3 years. And that would be like the most secure of the options.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hear a lot about him getting a 4 year, $78.4 million. Mm-hmm. But I'd say that the option for him to sign a 3 year 56.5 is probably on the table, and probably something his agent and him would be more intrigued by, because that would give them the option of opting out after 2 years, mm-hmm. where he would have full Larry Bird rights and you can actually negotiate with him mm-hmm. Prior to that and sign him to an extension like during the deal.
Right.
Which is something that I would assume that the Kings would be interested in and he would be interested in.
And that because let's pause on that. So it'd be a player option after year two on that 3 year deal.
Yep.
So that would allow him basically, if he continues playing this well and he wins the sixth man of the year and the Kings are awesome, and he could opt out after year two and get a massive extension.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if things don't go well and he struggles or the Kings struggle and they want to go a different direction or whatever plays out, he still has that little bit of stability.
Insurance.
Of hey, I got this player option. I'm going to be making 17 and a half, whether I'm the even if I'm the worst player in the NBA.
Yeah. So it would be something like a $17.4 million first year, $18.6 million second year, and then like a $20.2 million.
Okay, so I know I've got
year.
$20 million in hand no matter how I play.
Yes.
And if I'm good, I can punt that and get way more.
Or let's just say you're having a great 2 years, but right near the end of the season, you take a bad step and injure yourself badly.
Yeah.
Now you're secure in what you're going to make in that third year.
Yeah, take a bad step, or I don't want to, like, if a player falls on
you.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Because they're trying to draw, like, I don't know, like Luka falls
like
on you.
Flails on you, like an out of shape NBA superstar falls on you.
Yeah, just if randomly, something like that happens.
Randomly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so you get a little bit of insurance, but also that ability to renegotiate after a couple of years where you're not locking yourself in at 4 years and 17.1 million or whatever it comes out to annually.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not locked in at that, but yeah.
And I think also for a player like him, like once he gets, if he were to sign a 2 year, let's just say he signs a 3 year with a 3rd year player option.
Mm-hmm.
Next summer, I believe they could go back into that deal and renegotiate the 3rd, 4th, 5th years mm-hmm. onto the deal. Because at that point, he would have his full Larry Bird rights.
Mm-hmm.
And technically speaking, because that last year is an option year, he would be entering the official last year of his contract.
Mm.
The difference is that the reason why you might sign a 4-year deal, just so, number one, you get an extra year of insurance, right?
Right.
So a 3-year deal, you get that one extra, the 3rd year.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth, if you sign a 4-year deal, not only do you get that 20 point whatever guaranteed, but the next year, like 21, 22,
mm-hmm.
is also now your insurance policy. But added on to that, if you were to say, do a 15% trade kicker. So a trade kicker in the NBA, it counts for the length of the deal outside of option years. So again, if you were to sign him to a deal and then 6 months in, trade him, he gets 15% trade kicker from the team he's being traded from for the 1st year, the 2nd year, and the 3rd year, though he wouldn't get one for the final year that's non-guaranteed. But a 15% trade kicker on $55 million, $56 million bucks is, I don't know, like $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of money. And it's something that you would build in if you were, you know, his agent. If I'm pretty sure you can, even with the early bird. You can't build in incentives, I don't believe, to go above his standard contract. But the trade kicker, you could have as part of the deal.
And he can't do a 2-year deal where he opts out after one.
Right. No, okay. The early bird is man. Well, they could waive his rights, and then he could sign a standard free agent deal, which would be for 120% of his current salary. So, like a $12 million deal
mm-hmm.
for 1 year, and then he would have Larry Bird rights after that, and then they would be able to work out a long term deal. But he would be basically
risking that's risky
everything.
That's very risky.
Yeah, $12 million because. Again, you want to solidify who you are in the league, and every year that right. you're building on something, this is the first time
there's,
in his
there's
career.
Betting on yourself. There's betting on yourself, and then there's being smart.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'll take $12 million this year for the chance to negotiate a big-time deal next year, or I can do 3 years, $56.5 million with a chance to renegotiate after 2 years.
Yes.
Like,
well, and then when you factor in other teams.
Yeah.
Like if he's only signing a $12 million deal,
yeah,
that's where you start getting into trouble.
Yeah,
like I think there's even a possibility. Like I haven't looked into it that they could use their mid-level on him, which would be at least 13.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, but even that,
I can't
that's
fathom that happening.
Like, why would you do it?
There's no reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So and because of the way where the Kings are at salary cap wise, and because they have the 13th pick in the draft. The 13th pick in the draft is slated to make $5 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
If they sign Malik Monk, they would actually be either at or slightly over the luxury tax.
Okay.
So they still have their mid-level, from what I've read, they still have their mid-level exception that they could use. But if they were to do all of this, sign Malik, pay for the mm-hmm. number 13 pick in the draft, if they used the MLE and went over like $5.5 million of the MLE,
mm-hmm.
it would hard cap them. And then they would be stuck. They couldn't, for the rest of the year, they couldn't, you know, like add another player at a different time.
Yikes.
And it makes trading and everything else a lot more difficult.
So the reason that this is not all the way in the Kings' hands, they have options. It's not the 4 years, 78.4, and that's all they can offer. That's what they're going to, and that's it. Like there, you just listed out a few different ways they can go about this. To try and give Malik Monk an incentive to stay, while also maximizing his value. The reason that he wouldn't just take that right now, and why we'll I think we'll know what the Kings are going to offer, but we're not going to know whether Malik Monk is staying until he gets to explore free agency. Because there might be, if the Orlando Magic come in and say, hey, here is 4 years, $100 million. You're going to make 25 a year on average for the next 4 years. No options. No, that is just your salary. That's what you're making.
Mm-hmm. And Florida with a better.
Yeah. Like that's
better income tax.
That's going to be enticing.
Oh, yeah.
But also, maybe that deal's not out there. Like we've just kind of been operating like, yeah, teams are going to throw 20 or 25 million at Malik Monk. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll go, yeah, the Kings can offer you 17-4, whatever it is. We'll give you 18. And maybe that's not as enticing now. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that you're going to look at a couple of teams. Number one, you're going to look at San Antonio Spurs, who, like, I think most people believe we're operating as under the a cap room team,
mm-hmm.
right? But realistically, they're not, because they have two top, what do they have, the fourth pick and the eighth pick? And those two picks are so expensive that they push them up like close enough to the cap where it's kind of like hiding in the mid-level.
Yeah.
Right? So that's one team that I think is kind of out.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando has a bunch of cap space, but they have two things that are kind of going against them. Number one, they're super interested in Klay Thompson from all reporting. For whatever reason, 25 to 30 million bucks a year. Whatever reason, they're like all in on that.
I'm flummoxed.
Yeah. Okay.
No, not to, real quick on this, because I want to address this. This is not disrespect to Klay Thompson.
No.
He is one of my favorite players to ever lace up NBA shoes. I am a huge fan. Where he's at in his career right now, at age 34, 33, 34, whatever he is.
Yeah.
Post two catastrophic injuries, what he's been able to do has been miraculous and mm-hmm. remarkable. And he deserves all of the praise for that. But if your options are, hey, we're going to give $25 million a year to Klay Thompson or to Malik Monk, I don't know how that's a choice.
Yeah.
Like, Klay's resume is only going to get you so far when he's not the offensive player he was. He's still effective, but not the player he was, and he's certainly not the player he was defensively.
No, I agree with you.
I don't get it.
I think pairing Jalen Suggs with him is at least intriguing because he's such a good defender.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem that I have if you're looking at the Orlando deal. They have guys that are coming up for contracts. So Suggs and then Franz Wagner and then Paolo Banchero.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to lay out like the next 3 years. So if they get one guy, sure, you know, that's fine. Like even if it's a 3 year deal where they might get into one season of Paolo Banchero's like next extension.
Yeah, which is going to be crazy high.
Well, it's going to be 30-something million dollars a year. It is what it is, right? But the problem that you have is that if they try to go out and get two, because they've got a bunch of cap space now, if they try to go out and get two guys, they'll run very quickly into, 2 years from now, they're going to be so far over the second apron that they're the Atlanta Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what you're trying to avoid.
Yes.
And then there's a mystery team that keeps popping up, and I've heard this one on the side, and I've kind of heard it like out on, you know, it's kind of out there a little bit on the streets, but back behind closed doors. I've heard that like the Detroit Pistons is a team to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really confused by, I'm not confused. Like Detroit has a lot of money, right? And they need a player like Malik to sort of be a leader and all that stuff. I don't understand why Malik would. Why would you risk getting stuck in Detroit for a huge percentage of your career, your prime, with a team that I don't know has a way out of where they are? And it's possible that Detroit will figure it out. They've got a ton of talent. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is this is a team that's been bad. I mean, they won 14 games last year.
You don't have to caveat it, dude. They stink.
Oh, yeah, they're horrible. It's okay. Yeah, yeah.
And they have some nice pieces, but as a whole there, that's not a team that is a Malik Monk away from contending.
No. Yeah, they've got their road ahead is not good. And they do have a young guy in Cade Cunningham and another young guy in Jaden Ivey. But those two guys just happen to play your position and they're both ball dominant. And I'm not sure how that works out for Malik. I mean, if you're going to go to Detroit and be a six man, like, okay, like, look, maybe they pay you $30 million a year to do it, and you just sure. go, okay.
I'm chasing the money.
I get you're chasing the money, but at the same time, like, what are you
that
doing?
That sounds miserable.
It does sound miserable.
But like, also, if someone was going to pay me $30 million to do anything, like, I would definitely consider it.
Yeah. I just can't imagine going somewhere to be a loser. Like, not that Malik's a loser, but you know that you're going to keep losing.
Yeah, you're not going to, right.
And that's the same thing why I bring up, you know, like one of my fears with a guy like Kyle Kuzma. Like, if you were to go out and trade for a guy like Kyle Kuzma,
mm-hmm.
Kyle Kuzma chose to be there. He did. He chose to be there on a team that, like, if all he had to do is put that team together on 2K and play for 5 minutes and go, oh no, this ain't going to work. I don't know.
I want to push back on that. I want to push back on that because okay. you had a scenario where, okay, hey, they bring in Tyus Jones. And that Denny Avdija. There, I knew there was a J in there. I just couldn't place it.
Yeah.
Jeez. You know he's there. Hey, here comes Jordan Poole. He just needs to get out from Golden State. He averaged 20 a night. He just needs to get away from Draymond Green. He's going to be great again. He helped him win a title. This team, I am going to be the focal point of this team that's going to compete in the East. I see the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he was trying to, it's not like he got a max deal to go there or something. Like he got a nice little contract, but he didn't get some insane amount of money.
No, but there were teams like the Kings that were interested around the same dollar figure.
Sure.
You know, the 4-year 100, 4-year 85, whatever mm-hmm. it is, 4-year 90, whatever he got.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were other teams that you could have gone
to. He spurned the winning franchise of the Sacramento Kings.
Well, yeah, but come on. There were also, no. There were like the Houston Rockets were intrigued and sure. the Rockets had like big plans to bring in two guys,
mm-hmm.
Fred VanVleet being the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they... Like when they started that adventure to we're going to go get two guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they believed they were actually going to get Fred VanVleet, which they gave him a 2-year, it's something ridiculous,
it felt like a lot.
70 or 2-year, $80 yeah. million dollar deal. I don't think they believed they were going to get him. And then when they got to a certain point where they landed him, it really cut down what they could offer a second player.
Sure.
So they went from going from a $25 million player range down to what they pay Dylan Brooks, which is more at the $20 million range.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's another team with a whole bunch of young talent that is going to get paid. And mm-hmm. you have to be super cautious about how you team build. But yeah.
The thing that would worry me with Kuzma is in the middle of the season, once we had proof positive that the Wizards stunk and that there's not like an ascension coming, like that's just an unserious team. And there was an opportunity for him to be traded to the Mavs, and he was like, "Nah, they don't. Our timelines don't line up, or whatever he rationale he used."
I don't remember what exactly happened there, but I would want to know
that would worry me more than anything.
This offseason, like they've made it pretty clear out in the league that like he could be available this year for the right deal.
Sure.
They were asking too much last year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I think the price will have come down at least some.
You'd hope so.
And you're looking at a team that probably should be looking to get back into the lottery. And I'm not sure that there are a lot of teams above the Kings
mm-hmm.
that are enticing in that way, where at least you would know your place when you came to the Kings. You'd be the number two scoring option.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like a starter alongside another up-and-coming guy. Mm-hmm. And in a lineup with two all-stars.
Yeah.
So there would at least be some of that that you could... And some of it is like maybe the Kings aren't interested. I mean, they have been
in the
past.
Yeah, they might have your thought process on this.
Yeah, they may have in the past been interested and then like kind of like, okay, or done more research.
Sure.
Or talked to their players who a lot of them were in the same draft as Kuzma
mm-hmm.
that have known Kyle Kuzma for a while and were some of them might be kind of like, meh, I'm not sure. If that's a move, that's fine, but that can't be the move And what are we giving up to get that and all that stuff?
Yeah.
But like either way, I think it's one of those deals where you have to look at it and go, okay, I would at least consider that. That would be my like walk into the draft. I know I have this in my back pocket. I think I have this in my back pocket type move. Mm-hmm. And then what else can I do? Is there a bigger fish I can go get? Does Mikal Bridges come available on draft night? Does Brandon Ingram, can you align with some, you know, two or three team deal to make the Brandon Ingram contract work for you and others?
Sure.
But that's going to be the problem because we're talking about this, like OG Anunoby, like according to reports, isn't too keen on his first offers with the New York Knicks. Well, the Kings can't go get in the OG Anunoby race. Like the
at
days,
all?
No, the days of signing trades are pretty much over.
Right.
Right. So they're the only thing the Kings can offer is a mid-level exception. And if he's turning down major money in New York where his former agent is literally in the front office, I have to, number one, I want to know what that offer is.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if he thought he was going to get, bless you. I kind of wonder if he thought he was going to get a max deal off the rip and he didn't. And he thinks there's going to be one out there for him. So he's like, yeah, I'll go test free agency. I'll see what's out there. That's kind of what I think is going on.
Yeah. All of the, like when the Kings were interested in OG, it was always with the understanding that like his next contract, he wanted 30 plus.
Sure.
And that's tough because the thing with OG is he's very talented and he's a defensive game changer.
Yeah.
But he can't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And it's just something like it's not one season, it's not two seasons, it's his entire career where you're like, okay, man, you're never healthy. You know, if you get 60 games out of him, okay, that's kind of what, and if you're going to base your team off of that, that's fine. But you have a tough time putting all that money into a player that can't stay healthy throughout his career. So,
yeah. 70 games one time.
Yeah. And he's a guy who had a catastrophic knee injury in his final year in college.
Yep.
What at Indiana, right? So he's a guy that you're sort of worried about. You know what? How long does that knee hold up? How? And I'm not like fully concerned. I think he's a really good player. He's not even 27 yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to in the back of your mind go, okay, we need players that are gonna play. And you're gonna play a lot of games, and
especially if you're gonna go way into the luxury tax and start going into first and second aprons to get them.
Oh yeah, totally.
That's if you can guarantee that you're getting 82 games of OG Anunoby and then whatever the playoffs are, then awesome.
Yeah,
but yeah,
no, I just think that like it's an interesting discussion because you got guys like that, and then right now people out there go, well, how is it that OG Anunoby can just sign with the Pacers because it looks like that's heading towards him getting a massive extension with the Pacers like right now. And he can't officially sign anything until June 30th. And then it can't even really be all that announced, but then the moratorium lifts on July 6th, which is when he would officially sign his contract. So right now they're the only ones who can negotiate with him and they're going to give him the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have restrictions like the early bird rights that Malik Monk has.
Mm-hmm.
And so Monk is going to want to test free agent waters. OG Anunoby is going to want to go go talk to the 76ers or a couple of the other teams that have lots
of money. Free agent is going to go talk to the 76ers this year.
Yeah, yeah. So you're just trying to figure out how all of these pieces work together. Mm-hmm. But there are reasons why we're hearing, the OG Anunoby thing is building towards something already.
Yeah.
And that's because they're the only ones who can negotiate with him and they're willing to give him all the monies.
Right.
And there isn't a bunch of teams out there with a ton of money that can offer OG Anunoby 40 plus million a year.
Yeah. If you were Malik Monk ranking your options of Sacramento, Orlando, and Philly,
I would have to look at Philly pretty closely.
Philly's the top for me.
Yeah, the question I would have there is, number one, is Philly offering that money? And number two, how do you play with Tyrese Maxey? Can you fit in a backcourt? Would that like work, especially with how much like Joel Embiid has such a huge usage rate? Like, how do you fit into all of that?
Yeah.
And it's like, if you were to go there, it's like the three of you and like Paul Reed. Now, what else does the rest of the team look like?
Big Paul Reed guy.
It's a very intriguing question. Like, how do we build the rest of this thing?
Yeah.
Because there's so many variables there.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, probably just because of familiarity, and I feel like the situations are kind of similar in terms of where they're at in the hierarchy. Probably put Sacramento ahead of Orlando just from a pure basketball standpoint.
Yeah.
But financially, Orlando's going to have a leg up there if they want.
Yep.
So we'll keep talking about that throughout the offseason. We'll have more Kings offseason stuff. We'll have more finals coming up. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are the Insiders, and we're hanging out with you till noon on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.